You're listening to RNIB Connect Radio. Joining us today to chat a little bit about what we can grow and maybe offer some really useful tips is Julia from Thrive, who is a senior horticultural therapy practitioner. Julia, lovely speaking with you.
Thank you. Yeah, lovely to talk to you and your listeners. It's a really lovely time of year because there's so many bright coloured bulbs out at the moment. All the narcissi, the daffodils, tulips, some of them have wonderful scent. And it's just such an uplifting feeling after what feels like forever of winter and the rain we seem to have been having.
What is the thing that we can do at the moment? And I feel like we should maybe steer it towards growing our own. What can we do?
There's so much we can do. First things perhaps to think about, if you have a garden, where would be the best place in your garden to grow fruit and veg? Do you find it easier to access if it was nearer the house, or if you've got a longer garden, would you rather it be tucked away further down? Perhaps would a raised bed be better if you're somebody that perhaps finds it harder to get down to ground level, having the raised bed and having it nearer to your eye line so you can be nearer the soil? If you are going to use a bed on the ground, would put in like a wooden edge around it, maybe made of something like a pallet wood, just so it defines the edges for you to make it easier to navigate when you're working on the bed. Might want to consider what's called the no-dig technique. So each autumn, covering the bed with some cardboard and then mulching it with compost or garden compost, and let the worms take care of it for you over the winter to keep the weeds down. And then the other thing is to think about your tools. Perhaps mark the handles with bright coloured tape to make them easier for you to locate when you're working in the garden.
Do you have any advice for what is maybe best to grow at this time?
Things you like to eat. That's the best thing to grow. So don't grow something that just because it's easy if you don't like eating it, because you may well hopefully get quite a bit of it. But when thinking about what sort of vegetables to grow, go for ones that are less likely to be attacked by pests, because you might not see them, the pests, until they've done too much damage. Things like the cabbage whitefly, the caterpillars are green against the green leaves, so it does make them sometimes quite hard to spot until you suddenly come down one day and find you don't have any leaves left because they've demolished them. Think about the varieties of the vegetables you want to grow. Perhaps go for coloured ones rather than green, so it's easier for you to see them to harvest against the green leaves. Things like yellow courgettes, they taste very similar to the green ones. Yellow beans, again, because they are much easier to spot when you come to pick them. Things like potatoes are great if you like rummaging in the soil. You can grow them in a bucket or a compost bag. You don't even need to have a garden. You could just grow them in a really tiny space. Grow them in a bag. Once they're ready to harvest, you just split the bag open and just rummage and feel for those wonderful potatoes that you've grown in just a very small space. You might want to consider buying plug plants from a garden centre rather than sowing some very fine and fiddly seeds, or choose crops that have larger seeds. If you do want to grow things from seeds, perhaps mix small seeds with some silver sand to make them easier to spread the seed over the surface of the soil. Or you can buy some seed tapes, which are literally lengths of papery tape that have seeds spaced out. So it makes it easy. You lay them on the soil, top them over with a little bit more compost, and they're spaced at the right intervals to help them grow. You can always think about using bright coloured string to mark the lines on the bed when you come to plant out your plants so that you can plant them in rows. And for plants like tomatoes or pumpkins, things that need lots of water, how about cutting off the bottom of a plastic bottle and marking the edges of it with some brightly coloured tape, and then push that into the soil near to the plant and use this to water directly to get the water to the roots of the plant, and that'll just help you to know exactly where to water. Some of us, we don't like our greens and we'd rather grow some fruit, and certainly growing fruit might be easier when you have impaired sight because of the brighter colour. Rhubarb is something that's really easy to grow and to harvest, and it makes great crumbles, pies or even chutneys. And raspberries, we grow here in our garden at Thrive, autumn raspberries, because they're much easier to maintain. Late winter each year, you cut them down to the ground, so you don't have to worry about which bit you cut. You just cut everything. And then by the following sort of July, you've got an amazing big plant covered in lovely, big, juicy raspberries. It's a really enjoyable crop to harvest.
Now, what if you don't have a garden, you don't have that outdoor space?
If you've got no outdoor space at all, you can grow herbs on a windowsill. or if you've got a balcony or very tiny space, you could grow herbs or a tomato outside. But herbs on a windowsill indoors or microgreens are a really good way of getting a little bit of gardening and a bit of greenery in the house, in the kitchen, or produce you can eat. Herbs keep much longer in a pot anyway than buying them cut from a supermarket. You know, that's always a good option. Or maybe in your local area, there might be a Grown for Food project or a community wellbeing project that you could join that would help you to get outside and be active and meet other people. And you can share skills and share the produce, hopefully, at the end of it all.
Now, what if you're not really into growing your own food? What can we do?
Well, there's all sorts of things you can grow. Again, think about things you like. Do you like really bold, colourful plants? Reds, yellows, oranges, they tend to be the plants and the flowers that we see the best. So choose plants that flower at different times of the year, giving you colour at different times of year. So you're not only seeing like all the yellow we've got in the garden at the moment with the bulbs. Think about, well, what comes next? What could you plant next to give you some succession of colour as well? And then think about also things like textural plants. So plants that perhaps are furry, or I say spiky, but I don't mean literally sharp. Something like a sea holly, the flower heads on that are texturally quite prickly, but it's quite tactile to feel. Shiny, real succulent leaves, really lovely to feel, gives different interest in the garden. And also you can use different textured plants as boundaries. So, you know, as you're walking around the garden, when you get to this plant, well, this is the point where I turn, or this is where the vegetable patch starts, or whatever. It can be used to define boundaries. Things like grasses or bamboos can provide sound in the garden as the wind blows through them. Maybe have a pond with some moving water. Again, it's the sound as much as actually having the water that can add more interest. It brings in the wildlife, brings in the birds into the garden as well. For some people, they enjoy having scented plants in the garden. It brings lovely smells in the garden, but also things like herbs. When you touch herbs, they release lovely smells and also brings back memories. We've got a herb garden here, and we were in the garden with clients the other day, and suddenly we were like, rosemary, and we're all smelling the rosemary. And what did it remind us? For some of the people, it was like roast lamb dinners. For others, it sort of made them think of pizzas. We've got curry plants, which don't actually have anything to do with actual curry, but they do smell really strongly of curry. Quite a discussion about favourite curries.
Yeah, I feel like it's something that comes up a lot, that our memories and connection to scent are very, very strong. I personally, for me, mint always. I remember summers with my grandmother and her making ice cold tea with lots of mint from her garden in it, and you could always smell it everywhere. It was gorgeous.
Yeah, we've got thyme here, and that's sort of something else. We were, oh yeah, that's sort of roast dinners. That's roast chicken and stuffing.
Well, Julia, what would be the ultimate number one tip you would give us right now?
I think at the moment, whatever you decide to do, just don't forget to spend some time outside. Enjoy the fresh air, the sun, the rain, or the wind in your face. But it's just wonderful to be outside in nature. It gives us so much benefits to our mental health. Just listening to what's around you, whether it's in your garden, whether it's in the park, whether it's just walking around the block. You gain so much from nature and being outside. So if you would like to find more information about gardening with impaired sight, please do check out our website at thrive.org.uk and look for our Get Gardening pages. And it's got lots of hints and tips about all sorts of to do with gardening.
Well, Julia from Thrive, thank you so much for once again sharing your vast knowledge with us.
Very welcome. Enjoy your garden.